Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anartho pasamam sakshad bhakti yogam madokshaje lokasya janato vidham chakre satvita shamhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people did not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. Purport. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. His statement suggests that the complete unit of the personality of Godhead includes his parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, his different energies, namely the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. He also saw his different plenary portions and parts of plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also, and he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who were bewildered by the external energy. And at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Om Jnana Timaram Dasya Jnananjana Kalataya Saksurim Mritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kintamayam Vidati sa padrantikam adadanastiram dante idamyache puna puna iman rupa padam bhoja yulisham janma janmini vairagya yud bhakti hisham priyatnai apaya ma mana dipsamandam tupam buhiya paradupa dupi Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Ghor Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Readings from the Sun Falls. Very happily now sitting in my room. Every time I return, Kaylee Lalita, I'm living in her property, and this is combined with her yoga studios above. She fixes it up more and more for my facilities and devotional service. Now they're all beautiful pictures of Prabhupada and the Parampara, and the beautiful hand drawing of Prabhupada sitting in his room in Radha Damodar. and they're all purchased and framed by Shastra and sent up to me. Now they're in my room. Today I'm going to have to end a little bit early. We're having a seminar today in the yoga studio right above me, and on the psychology of karma, and a really interesting subject, and several people have signed up. In fact, they're taking a yoga class here from Kay Lalita right now, so there's about 10, 15 people, very established and respectable people, and they're going to hear something about this, so I'm pretty excited about that. But it begins exactly at 10. I may have to leave a little earlier. Yesterday, I also did a similar seminar. It's very, very powerful. I told you I'm working with an astrologer, so before the class, we read something about the different people that are there, about their personality and a prediction of at least one event in their life. And it's startling. It's startling. I don't know the word, but it's extremely accurate. Extremely accurate. One person yesterday, we read in just this short prediction that, you know, it said mid-December of 2005 to the beginning of January, there would be issues in relationship to the father. And the person just looked at me. He said, "That's when my father died." And I said, I'm really sorry. But it gets the point home, because that prediction was there at birth. And to move, and, you know, for the world, to move according to a predisposed plan, directed to his whole life for a person's particular self-actualization, it definitely indicates and points to a force that's controlling at a supreme level, or a level higher than we can imagine, to move the events of the world towards us in a predisposed or planned way. It really sets up the class for people to accept that there is a law, a set law, and a law maker. It's a very, very powerful thing, and it was great too. I usually don't talk about myself here, but, you know, after the class yesterday, you know, people just were sitting around, and, you know, I even had my book. I didn't even read from it. I just showed, you know, I just have a book here if anybody's interested in looking at it, you know, about my journals and reels. And people were just lining up for the book, so they had some real good impression there. So I'm pretty excited about this seminar and sharing this type of knowledge. So now let's get to the Bhagavatam, and I really like this plan we have to just continue through it, because as we're reading in Bhakti Sandarbha, that of all types of hearing, hearing the Bhagavatam is the best, and hearing it from an exalted soul. So I feel at least that's accomplished by reading Prabhupada's purports and sharing them with you. It's a very, very powerful, powerful process. It's kind of working out, I feel. So let's get to the section. Narada has just explained about his life, how he achieved full perfection by hearing the Bhagavatam, because he attracted the mercies of the Bhakti Vedantas, who are kind to the poor. And what was their mercy? Their mercy was Paramaguhya, the confidential knowledge, which is the Bhagavatam. So Narada Muni's perfection was the Bhagavatam itself. He heard the Bhagavatam. And he wants Vyasadeva now to compose the Bhagavatam, an eternal thing, but The poems that are presented to people in Kali Yuga may not have the exact same shape as Narada Muni heard it, but the message, the same message is there, and it takes different forms, and it's the Bhagavatam. So the opposite, that, you know, this is being narrated at Naimisharanya, Pishonaka Rishi, who says Naimisharanya, and Bhagavatam's being narrated to them in relationship to their questions of what is the ultimate and absolute good and what is the essence of the scripture and where will Krishna be present now and where will knowledge and detachment be present now that Krishna has left the planet. And the answer is the Bhagavatam, so this is being narrated there. Shanaka Rishi, he listens to Sita narrate this wonderful story of Narada narrating his own birth, his own life, and to Vyasadeva, to inspire Vyasadeva to write the Bhagavatam. So Shonaka, after hearing this story, he's the eldest and most learned Vedantist, and he has an exceptional high level of devotion, which is manifest in his eagerness to hear the Bhagavatam. In his eagerness to hear the Bhagavatam. So Shonaka gets up and says, okay, after he achieved perfection, then what did he do? What did he do? What did Vyasadeva do? So then Siddha Goswami begins to narrate what Vyasadeva did, and he said, well, he went to a holy place. He went to this Bhadarik ashram. And Prabhupada in the purport makes an extremely, extremely important point that we should all know. The spiritual advancement of knowledge, a suitable place and atmosphere, is definitely required. So we're, you know, in our home. I told you I was in Columbus, and pretty boring place, but it's good for something. Well, one thing, it's not economically oppressive, and therefore, for $800, they have a three-story house, very nice wood floors. And what I like in the upstairs guest room, which I said is probably as big as 26 Second Avenue, it extends across the whole house. In one corner behind the stairs as you come up, there's the temple room. So it's very, very nice if you can afford in any way to really have a suitable place, an atmosphere. It's required for spiritual life. You know, generally in old Indian homes, they would have a temple room. They didn't want the spiritual life mixed with the family life. Not mixed, but let me make that a little bit clear. Your meditation, you know, your bhajan, your sadhana bhajan, you're not mixed with your business, your family, your computer, your books, your a suitable place. And of course, the outside environment could be there, that's also good. Of course, that's not possible in the modern age, practically. But a suitable place, so important. And then he goes into meditation. And Prabhupada here in this purport is seeing, he had a vision. And based on that vision, he writes the Bhagavatam. And what is the vision? The vision is of the truth, the absolute reality. The absolute reality includes the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his energies. And he saw Krishna exchanging with his energies. And then he realized why the living entities were suffering. And the Bhagavatam is spoken, and this knowledge is disseminated to free people from suffering. So he sees why they're suffering. And he also sees the remedy. So he also sees the remedy. He sees the suffering. Prabhupada puts it, the living entity misunderstands himself to be a material product. So he misunderstands himself to be matter. And matter is transforming. And therefore, if you identify with matter, you're always fearful of non-existence. And what could be a greater problem than non-existence or death? But the cause of that problem is the misidentification with something that is temporary. And that misidentification with something which is temporary is due to the desire to be the enjoyer and the controller, a position which you cannot have by your constitution. And therefore, the remedy to that suffering is to free oneself from the desire, the ahankara, the egoism that causes it. And that's done by developing devotion, the desire to be the servant of God, which is what we actually are. And this is achieved by the process of devotional service. So these verses are very, very edifying, and we should study them. Verses 4 to 6 are just most important verses in Bhagavatam because they describe his vision, and based on this vision, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. They describe the essence. So I'm just going to go over this. So verse 4 is the vision of reality, and it begins with the process or method in which he realized it. By the blinking process of devotional service. What does it mean? It means meditating on Krishna. And then by meditating on Krishna, you gradually realize Krishna. He began to meditate on Krishna. Bhakti yogena, manasi with his mind. Samyak panyate male, without any distraction. That's the process of realizing God. Without any distraction. That's what chanting is. You give your consciousness, your attention to God without any distraction. Can we do it all the day? No. But at least for some time we must try that. You know, even if, you know, somehow we don't have enough time in the morning to chant all our rounds, or chant all our rounds with attention, at least sometime we were just sitting and focusing on God without distraction, the process of realizing the absolute truth. Because from that will come the inspiration to increase our bhajan. And then he gets the vision of the Supreme Lord, and just as you see the moon, you see the sun rays. So as you see the moon, you see the moon rays. So as he saw God, he saw the energy of God, which includes the external and internal energy. So he basically saw Krishna's pastimes. And then when he saw all this, then he also saw the external energy. He saw why the living entities were suffering and why the living entities are suffering. He saw that the jiva, yuyashamohita jiva, he was illusion, because atmanam tribunatmakam, he was conditioned by thinking the self is matter. So by the external energy. So we saw the effect of this external energy that those jivas are living entities that wanted to enjoy separate from God. We're influenced by this energy, and due to this energy, instead of that jiva thinking himself the servant of God, the jiva was thinking himself the external energy, which creates temporary permutations which creates temporary combinations of matter, which the living entity identifies with. The external energy is permanent, but it's the combinations of the external energy that's temporary. what the living entity is identifying with is a particular combination of matter. There's a conservation of energy. The matter always exists. But the shapes of matter are constantly transforming. So if you identify with a particular combination of matter as the self, you'll suffer because vikara, it's going to transform. And eventually that particular shape is going to completely dissipate. And if you think that's you, you're going to be filled with duality and fear. So he saw the living entity, that his consciousness was reflected. Prabhupada writes, the living entity misunderstands himself to be a material product. So this means that the present perverted way of thinking, feeling, and willing on the material condition is not natural. So we're thinking, I am the body, I am the enjoyer, I want revenge, I want to, you know, have my ambition, I, you know, all these things, this thinking, this feeling, and the willing that's going on, it's due to the external energy, and it reinforces the illusion that causes us suffering. So how to change that? How to change that? So Prabhupada talks about in the purport by the influence of the speeches of saintly persons, this hearing. When you hear about God, the Lord has suggested, therefore, the influence of the speeches of saintly persons who have actually realized the Supreme. Men are engaged in his transcendent loving service. The conditioned soul gets a taste of hearing about the Lord, and by such hearing only, he is gradually elevated to the spiritual form, the spiritual platform of respect, devotion, and attachment to the Lord. So he's going to discuss more about this. And it also defeats the Mayavadi position, because if the living entity is under illusion, then how can living entity be God? What a ludicrous proposition. How can the living entity be God if the living entity is under illusion? So he sees all this. And then, into today's verse, because he sees it, he said the material miseries, the anarthas, those things which are, have no value, which are superfluous, upashaman, are mitigated, sakshad bhakti yogena adoshita, by devotional service to the Supreme Lord. By acting on the platform of truth, we are part of God, we are meant for God's service. Lokasya, Sanato Vidvam. But the mass of people, they do not know this. And therefore, Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literatures, because the mass of people don't know this. They're suffering due to ignorance, therefore he gives knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of what he saw. What did he saw? He saw reality. He saw God, he saw God's energy and the exchange between God and God's energies. He gives this knowledge, and Prabhupada in the purport said, at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. There's a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory of the personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on a mechanical system of chanting and hearing, but is solely and wholly dependent on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving service. So basically, you're chanting and hearing, and the Supreme Lord sees your attempt to please him by becoming a receptacle for the internal potence, and the Lord reciprocates. Not just mechanical, but the chanting and hearing is an expression of your desire to serve him. Prabhupada said, even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of the material existence. So even the prescribed forms, I must do it. It's so powerful, this knowledge. And we're just being beaten down and suffering day after day after day after day. We're just suffering. And this is why. And the remedy is here. And we just have to take to that remedy. Now, it goes on. Yasyam vai shriyamanayam krishne paramapurushe bhaktir utpadyate pumsha shoka moha vayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, it sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So he's explaining how this works. By hearing, then we get affection for Krishna. The Prabhupada's going to explain in the purport, loving devotional service to the Lord begins with hearing about the Lord. There is no difference between the Lord and the subject matter heard about him. The Lord is absolute in all respects, and thus there is no difference between him and the subject matter heard about him. Therefore, hearing about him means immediate contact with him by the process of vibration of the transcendental sound. You're contacting the Lord, and it's reviving your relationship with him. And he's all attractive, and the attachment of love becomes from your heart. With that attachment of love comes the desire to serve, and with that service, the affection and love increases. And when you really desire to serve God, then you are desiring what you are, which is a servant of God. And therefore, you no longer think yourself a material product, which is the facility to be in the illusion that we're the enjoyers and controllers. So this is wonderful here. It's definitely suggested herein that simply by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And as soon as this effect is affected, the symptoms of the material diseases disappear. So he saw Parama Purushe. One second. I think someone just came. Okay. No. It's quite a packed house up there. Okay. I'm just concerned someone else is coming here. Okay. Purusham. Okay. Prabhupada says, by hearing, and then Prabhupada makes a very interesting point that this also should lead to universal peace. Why? Because the bodily concept creates your designation as an enjoyer and controller, and naturally puts you in conflict with others. So unless people get rid of the bodily concept of life, there's always going to be conflict. Let's just speak. You have the concept, I'm the enjoyer, and then you extend the self to the country, and then, one country wants to dominate another, another resists, and there's all this kind of stuff going on. Now, we'll continue a little bit today. Text 8. Now, sasangitam bhagavatim krishnava nukram chatmijam Sukham Ajapayam Asha Nivriti Nirpan Muni. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Shukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. So this is very, very significant because, as I mentioned in previous classes, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the first canto is a history of the Bhagavatam. So the first part of the history has now just been finished. The first part of the history is Vyasadeva. So now it discusses his vision. And Sita described, now I'm going to describe, he's going to describe the second part of the history. What's the second part of the history? Well, this Vyasadeva, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam and kind of revised it for the understanding of the people in this age, then he taught it to Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. So he taught it to his son. Now the story of Sukadeva. And Sukadeva, Nivriti Nirtam Muni, he was a sage who was on the path of self-realization. He was the completely detached. And I'm going to read the purport a little bit. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras compiled by the same author. This Brahma Sutra, a Vedanta Sutra, is meant for those who are already engaged in self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam is so made that one becomes at once engaged in the path of self-realization simply by hearing this topic, although it is especially meant for the Paramahamsas. Because this too, you know, the Bhagavatam, it purifies you, but for those who are purified, it's the activity of the perfection. The activity of the perfection, of perfection is meditating on Krishna. The method to become perfect is meditating on Krishna. So the Paramahamsas are relishing this Amala Purana, this history of the pure Supreme Personality of God and the love for him, which is devotional service. Although it's specially meant for those Paramahamsas, for those totally engaged, it works into the depths of the hearts of those who may be worldly net. So this is the process. And now Shonaka, he's here famous. Okay, he gave it to his son, who is free in self-realization. And Sukha is narrating this about the, now, not explaining. Now I'm going to explain the second, the history is about Narada, Vyas, and Pariksit. Now he begins the story of the second person, which is Sukadeva, explains that Vyasadeva taught his son. And his son was already in liberty. He was already completely detached. So Shonaka asked a very nice question to Sukadeva. He said Sukadeva was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? And Sutta responds with a very famous verse, which we're going to discuss more in depth in the next class, which is a verse which Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya attempted to teach Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was listening to this verse, the Atmarama verse. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I taught it for 7 days, but you didn't say anything. And, you know, Lord Chaitanya says, well, I didn't understand. I was listening, but I didn't understand what you were saying. If it seems the meaning is clear. And then Lord Chaitanya explained the verse in 64 different ways. And And he indicated how this verse means. And this, he explained this verse from the Bhagavatam, which describes Sukadeva Goswami. He explained that this verse means every word in 64 different interpretations means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and thus can attract everyone. And this is what Sukha says. Well, he was in self-realization. Why did he study this literature? And he explained that all varieties of those who are self-satisfied, although completely detached, they become attracted to render devotional service. And that means that devotional service has nothing to do with this world. Because people who are completely detached, like Sukadeva Goswami, he would not come out of the womb. And next class, we'll go over the many stories and different Puranas about Sukadeva Goswami. He wouldn't go out of the womb. One story, because he appears in different millenniums, is that Vyasadeva, his son, wouldn't come out. The Vyasadeva had to get Krishna to call him. He was there for 12 years. He didn't want to come out. It's a great joy for the parents, so the new child is born. But if the child is self-realized and he's born again, oh my God, all this attachment again? Self-realized, oh my God. I mean, all this attachment, and then you know, I'm going to have to get free from this, and then they're going to send me to some school, and then when I get 13 or 14, then there's going to be the competition to sense gratification, and then I'm going to have to think about getting a job in this world, and all these things that are external to the self. Oh my God, the self-realized self, he doesn't want to come out. How good the family is in this world, and who is his father? His father was the Vyasadeva, and he didn't want to come out. So we'll go to this verse. What's happening right now is my mind is starting to, you know, get ready for the next class and the people here. So I'm afraid to just charge full steam ahead. The Sutta quotes this Atmaramis Chamunayo Nigranant Upyurupame Purvanta Hoitakim Bhaktiam Kitam Bhuta Ganar. All different varieties of Atmaramis, those who take pleasure in the Atma, the self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though free from all types of material bondage, they still are attracted and desire to render unalloyed devotional service. And what does this mean? If those that are completely satisfied in the self are completely detached, desire to render devotional service, that means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. And we'll also go in the next class, which are the verses from the Bhagavatam that attracted him. Okay, I'm going to stop a little bit early. First for questions. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
This is Nandadula. Please accept my humble obeisance.
Hare Krishna Nandadula, yes.
Maharaj, in the beginning you mentioned that Vyasadeva has revised. What does it mean? Revised means he had different Srimad Bhagavatam that he revised?
It means that the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas. It's also an eternal Purana. That's a fact. But Prabhupada, not in the beginning, Prabhupada said, after compiling the Bhagavatam and revising it, Prabhupada mentioned that. So I assume it means that there's some leeway, because he's Vyasadeva, there's some leeway of taking, the Bhagavatam is the message can be expressed in different ways. And that's there in the, you know, initially it was four verses. you read later on, in the second canto, when it describes, the Bhagavatam is originally four verses. And then in Parampara, it was expanded a bit. So yes, the Bhagavatam gets expanded, and Prabhupada mentions that in the purport. I believe it's 2936, yes. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Another question, Maharaj. I was reading, you know, greeting from Vrindavan, you know.
Yeah.
One time, you know, you mentioned, you know, that, you know, in whole 1 hour, you chanted only 4 rounds. May I ask, you know, what was the reason that it was only 4 rounds in 1 hour?
I have to remember that because I usually chant, you know, at least between 8 and 12 in an hour. So I can't understand if I just got more absorbed, I was distracted. I have to see the reference. You know?
Yes, I understand. Thank you. Anyway.
You know, I don't know what the journal was, whether, you know, I was... it's strange. You know, sometimes I chant slower when I have more concentration. Sometimes with more concentration, you chant faster. You know, so I have to see that. You'll have to show me the reference.
Okay, okay. I'll show when you come to visit.
Okay, good. Would anyone like to say Hare Krishna here? To Mark today? Who's that?
Jayadwaita Swami.
Raj, Haribo. Marge, do you know in your schedule when you'll be in Princeton? I just need to fill that in.
I'll have to take a look and let you know.
Okay. Can you email that to me?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Marge, for coming today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Marge.
Who's that?
Hare Krishna, Marge.
Who is it?
This is Vedav Yas Das.
Hey, Veda Vyas, Haribo. Nice to hear from you.
I'm right beside Jayadutta Swami.
Oh, wow. Thank you for attending today. Long time. Thank you so much. It's a little shorter today because we have this program today, preaching program, so somehow it's at 10 o'clock at my place. When will I see you?
Huh?
When will I see you, Veda Vyas? Maybe in India. Okay.
I'm in Montreal now.
Okay. It's not too far from me, by the way. That's just 4 or 5 hours north.
Yeah.
From where I am. Right on the same highway, 87. Okay, thank you. Send me an email. Let me know your schedule. Okay.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, this is Henry Maharaj.
Henry, nice to hear from you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Very nice. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Bal Maharaj, Baladev, and Shastra, and Rehoboth.
I'm going to have to somehow sneak up there. Maybe next week I can come up for a day. Maybe on Friday. I'll let you guys know, okay?
Okay.
And, tell Shastra that the pictures are framed. They look fantastic. And that's great. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Anastasia.
Anastasia. Very good.
Thank you for the class.
Thank you for making that effort. What time is it there today in France? It's later, right?
Today is later, yes.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Great. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, it's better I go now anyway because my class is starting soon. Thank you all. Vanchakalpa, Tadubhya, Strakupa, Sindhu, Bhayabhacha, Patitanam, Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavadevyo.